here's a small fact. You are going to die. I'm in all truthfulness attempting to be cheerful about this whole topic, though most people find themselves hindered in believing me, no matter my protestations. Please, trust me. I most definitely can be cheerful. I can be amiable, agreeable, affable, and that's only the A's. Just don't ask me to be nice. Nice has nothing to do with me. Does this worry you? I urge you, don't be afraid. I'm nothing if not fair. Of course, an introduction, a beginning. Where are my manners? I could introduce myself properly, but it's not really necessary. You will know me well enough and soon enough, depending on diverse range of variables. It suffices to say that at some point in time, I will be standing over you as genially as possible. Your soul will be in my arms. A color will be perched on my shoulder. I will carry you gently away. At that moment, you will be lying there. I rarely find people standing up. You will be caked in your own body. There might be a discovery. A scream will dribble down the air. The only sound I'll hear after that will be my own breathing and the sound of the smell of my footsteps. Welcome to Ideas on Trial. I'm your host, Leopold Ajami.
And I'm Ricardo Pinto.
And in today's episode, we are putting the idea of consistency on trial. Hello, Ricardo.
Hey, Leo. How are you?
Good, good. What an introduction. I love it. But I wish I wrote these words. Actually, they are from the novelist, Marcus Zusak, if I'm pronouncing his name properly. And this is how he opens his novel, The Book Thief. Have you read it before?
No, I have not.
Yeah, well, it's an amazing novel. You have to read it. Have you seen the movie?
No, I don't even know it.
Okay.
My first time listening to it.
So the book is really very powerful. But there's something impressive about his choice of the narrator. The narrator of the book is actually death. And you might be wondering, like, why? Why we're starting to talk about death when our topic is about consistency? Yeah. What does death got to do with it, right? Like, why are we choosing an opening as dramatic as that? And I just want to say, like, one of the most undisputed ideas in our culture, and specifically the business world, is that consistency is key for success, right?
Yes. And not only in the business world, you see it in sports, in relationships, in any success story. If you ask anyone, how did you get to the point where you are now? He will answer, I didn't miss a day. I didn't miss a day in the pool. I didn't take a vacation, right? So that seems to be the ruling narrative.
Absolutely. I mean, ask Google. If we just Google consistency versus intensity, let's say, we'll find tons of videos and speeches from top-notch thinkers out there. But they're all saying the same thing. Consistency is key. And from one perspective, it's true. And we're going to be exploring that during our session. But here's what a good novel can teach us, and that's why I chose this opening. That if consistency is key, then intensity is an opening that takes your breath away. And that's what good novelists do.
Yes, but what's the connection with consistency? Why is death relevant to it?
Yeah, so I thought about it Because, again, if you just Google the concept of consistency, the most dominant example is the analogy of the gym, right? And we're going to talk more about it, I guess, in the session. And I was like, there's something wrong with this analogy, and I wanted to choose something more fundamental. So if you think about it from a metaphysical level, death is consistent. Death is unchanging in nature. It doesn't come at the same time for everyone, but it does come to everyone. It's part of who we are, right? It's our identity. We die. But if death is consistent, what about life? What would life look like without intensity, without those moments that take your breath away? How would love look like without intense passion? Can there be ambition and achievement without intensity? And I kept thinking that somehow without intensity, life would be just like death. Something that just happens to you, right? It's part of your identity. You exist. So you exist and that is all. But you don't live. And another thing is, if you really think about it, there's nothing more intense than death as well. But the only problem is that you don't know it since you'll be dead, right? So the only way to experience intensity, properly speaking, is while living. And that's why I chose this example of death.
Yeah, I'm going to challenge that.
Yeah.
Because I have a perspective that even death can be intense. Even death can, and if you can, should be dramatic. And I don't mean in the degree of pain or suffering you experience. What I mean is, I don't know if any of you have fantasized about your death, your own death. I certainly have. I have those crazy thoughts coming here right now.
You're too young for that, man.
Yeah, I am. But I don't want to have any ordinary death, if I can choose it. But I don't want to choose it, of course. I don't want to die as a result of any old illness. If I can, my death would be dramatic. If I can, I would be doing a heroic act and then die. So don't give me, please, an ordinary death, an unremarkable death, an accident. Mm. Let me choose the way I'm living this world. Let me make a speech about it, right?
You wish. Well, it's true. It's true. But what I'm saying is that you might even choose a certain death, right? But when you die, that's it. There's no consistency. There's no intensity. There's nothing. And that's why I was trying to find this analogy of death and life, where you can see the principle of intensity and consistency throughout. Intensity and consistency are component of life, and they make life possible. But the undisputed idea in the culture is that consistency is key, and intensity is not that important. So what do you think about that? What's the value? Let's start with the value of consistency. Why is it a value? Why is it a good thing?
That's a very good question. And I think it comes down to our nature as thinking beings. Because if you think about it in the basis form, we learn by two ways, by two paths. One is we stand in the shoulders of giants. We receive the knowledge of generations of men who pursued it, who discovered it the first time. And of course, we have to process it. It's not that we receive it automatically and that's it. No, we need to think about it. We need to question it. We even need to challenge some of the ideas we receive. But even here, what I'm doing right now, when I'm speaking to you, I'm relying on another roster of knowledge, which is everything I've learned throughout my life. Everything I've known, everything that I've studied, everything that I've memorized, and that I've made a pattern of thought and action, and that allows me to be an efficient speaker, or at least part of it. And I think this is the most important, or one of the most important aspects of a human mind and of human cognition, that we don't think everything at a single moment. That we have a subconscious, a roster of knowledge that allows us to pick up whatever we need, that we've learned, whenever we need it.
Yeah.
But it's not only knowledge in the sense of data. It's also values. Just as we save data, facts, theories in our minds, we do the same with values, with things we like and we don't like, with things we perceive as good for us or things we think are harmful to our well-being. And this is why I think consistency, particularly consistent habits, are very important to our lives. It's not only that they allow you to develop some skill set, but also that you habituate yourself, that you make yourself used to a certain task that you're going to do every day and that you probably choose to do for the rest of your life. And you better like that because you're committing yourself to that. So if I can put it in one sentence, it would be that your creative power is largely driven by the range and array of your constant habits and of your subconscious. And these can make or break your creative performance.
But, okay, so this is a very broad perspective that we usually hear in the culture. So usually when we talk about consistency, the first thing that comes to our mind is building a certain tiny, long-range habits. Like, let's take the example of Simon Sinek, which we talked about previously. Because in one of his interview, I think, he talks about this concept of the importance of consistency. And what I found interesting is that he didn't say it, but he's trying to form a principle around the concept of consistency by giving us a couple of examples. So he talked about the gym analogy. I'm going to explain it now shortly. The dentist, relationship and love, and ultimately leadership and organization. And his way of conceptualizing consistency was to say, if you're going to the gym 20 minutes every day, you actually won't feel as if you're doing anything. You won't see immediate results, but somewhere in time, you'll start noticing results. So that's consistency. As opposed to intensity. And intensity looks like you're going to the gym one day for 9 hours. And then he spreads the same kind of conceptualization on love and relationship. And I would like to talk about all of these now. But what do you think about the gym analogy?
It makes sense on a first sight, right? You can't expect to achieve everything by working 9 hours straight. You need to build a habit. You should go to the gym if you want at least 3 times a week in order to see results in the long term. And another observation he makes is crucial, and that is that it's very difficult to point out the day you became fit. You can't. It's more a development, a progression in time, and there is no one specific moment or one specific action, but an accumulation of them that causes those results. And you can talk about the same with regards to love. He mentions that there is no one specific moment you fell in love, but rather...
Before love, because I think that would take us somewhere. But on the gym analogy, I don't think the opposite is true. So I don't think if you go to the gym for 20 minutes every day, you will definitely see results, because maybe you're training in the wrong way, because maybe you're not pushing your limits. And I think this is the important part of creating a harmony between consistency and intensity. So neither work alone, right? So you can't have only consistency and you can't have only intensity. You need both.
Yeah.
So if you're going to the gym, intensity means pushing your limits and understanding your limits, understanding how much you can lift. And then you build on that consistency. You go to the gym every day based on a certain plan. And then after a while, this plan won't work. You need to go back to testing yourself, to putting pressure on yourself. And that's intensity.
Right. It is simply not true that we don't do anything special when we're training in the right way. Because there is such a phenomenon as muscle memory.
Yeah.
If you don't progressively add more weight to your lift, to whatever you're doing, more intensity, more tension, sooner than later, you're not going to be doing anything at all.
Yeah.
And that can be counterproductive to your fitness goals. So I think that the gym analogy, as he uses it, cannot stand on its feet. And it showcases the real need for integrating intensity and consistency.
Yeah. And if we want to link the gym analogy to our cognition, to our ability to think and to how we use our mind, I think it becomes more clearer that you need both. So if you read every day for 20 minutes, you might build a habit of reading and you're building tiny skills. But that will not necessarily make you a better reader or help you become better at comprehending meanings and integrating them in your lives. You need intensity, and intensity in reading means spending 20 minutes on one single page. And why you do that? You do that because you want to understand, because you want to question, because you want to investigate. You want to try to integrate it on your life.
Right. That's a good point. If it's worth it.
If it's worth it.
I would put it that way.
Yeah. And you can't do it every day.
Right. I'm not going to read Simon Sinek the same way I read St. Augustine, for example.
Yeah.
Because I have certain career interests. And I have certain, you know, concerns. Things that I like to read more than others. Yeah. And my level of intensity when reading something in that level of complexity or that I want to use in my career is going to be different from reading Simon Sinek.
Yeah, but here I want to stress, before we move to the other examples of Simon Sinek, I want to stress that it seems to me there's some kind of a misconceptualization of what intensity stands for. So intensity doesn't mean, you know, simply doing things for a short period of time and putting pressure for a short period and that's it, right? I think there's more to that. Specifically, if we think about it from a cognitive perspective. Cognitively, it means you need a method and you need to exert mental focus. Now, it's true, you can't do that for a long period of time, but that's what you do. You exert focus, you concentrate for maybe 25 minutes, and you can build the habit of doing that, even if you're doing that once a week or once every day. It depends on the person. But intensity here means you're applying a certain effort. And I think you can't divorce it from method. You need the method in order to know that your intensity is working, the amount of pressure is working. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and it's not only what you do, but what you choose to focus your attention on. Because just as you need to exert more effort, you also need to introduce more mental challenges.
Yeah.
You progressively deal with more difficult books if you are developing a habit of reading. If you are going to the gym, we said, you introduce more weight.
Yeah.
If you want to become a better writer or a better storyteller, you take up a greater challenge. I'm not going to write a short story right now. Let's try a play. So I think adding challenges is another level of intensity that you need to introduce if you really want to develop a skill set. Because consistency has the problem that it can retain you in the level you are, because you can practice, but you can practice mindlessly.
Absolutely.
There is muscle memory, but there is also mind memory, which is actually lethargy. You can do something, but you can, in reality, you're not learning anything. But you raise a point which I think is crucial about consistency also. There is an ambiguity in the way he uses the concept. Because what do you mean about consistency? Consistency in what? And I think the example I just gave showcases this. It's in repeating the same thing over and over every day or every week without any level of challenge? Or is it to introduce more complexity into the task in order to develop it? Because Simon Sinek would tell you, yeah, you know, of course you should go to the gym. Of course you should add more weight to your training. But still, then we're not talking about consistency alone. There's more to it. And the problem is, as you said, when we make it a principle, when we try to take consistency to guide every single of our actions.
So the catchphrase, consistency is key, doesn't work. It's not true. So we explore that from a metaphysical level when we're talking about life and death. We're exploring that from a cognitive level. And even when we go to the realm of values, he made the connection. And that's why I think we're raising this up. So he made the connection from the gym to love and relationships. And the way he puts it is, you can buy her flower on her birthday or maybe Valentine's Day, but you need consistency, which is waking up every morning and saying hello or bringing her a cup of water. And I don't see the connection, and I don't see how this is consistency or how this is intensity. And also there's something much more fundamental here, because you can't apply the concept of consistency alone to love. Like, think about it. Love is not merely about the accumulation of things you do to the other person. It's not about that. It's primarily about the intensity of shared values. I mean, think about the term falling in love. Even though I'm not a big fan of that term, like I'd rather say I'm rising with love. But still, from both perspectives, there's an implication of something intense. You're falling. Like falling is intense, or rising. Yeah. That's intense. And to add to that, if you really think about it, your lover is someone whom you value most in life. He's your highest, or she's your highest value. You love her intensively, and then you build the habit of loving her consistently. So you love her every day, but you can't love her intensively every day. But, you know, in terms of values, she remains intensively your highest value.
And that's why I think there is much value in special dates, in anniversaries, or in even holidays, which many people tend to demonize as too commercial, as a force. But there's such a thing as an special memory, a precious memory, a loving memory that you have for the person. And it's good to have that. I mean, if you were to remember the person you loved in 50 years from now, what would you like to remember? Him bringing you a glass of water, something as ordinary as it could get, or you holding hands in a Greek beach, or, I don't know, bringing you a big surprise, a special dinner in a penthouse, whatever.
You know what? Yesterday, we were talking about this, and you said something that, you know, stuck in my mind, and I think it's really powerful. The way you put it is that intensity has an element of surprise. And imagine life without surprises. You want to talk about that? I found that really interesting.
Yes, that's an important aspect, because I think the push has the counter effect that you prevent yourself from being completely open to what's out there. to what you discover progressively, which doesn't sound true when you think about it, because one of the advantages of consistency is yet that you get to have time to practice and to practice on a daily basis. But if consistency is your mantra, or worse still, if it becomes your dogma, you're gonna prevent yourself to discover that perhaps what you're doing is not for you. Every task you undertake, you had the possibility of telling yourself, you know what, I don't like it. You know what, I should explore something else because there's something off here. Yeah. And I think that's happened to many of us. I won't say all of us, but certainly many of us, certainly to me. How many times have you been stuck in a job position, in a career path, and you were afraid to tell yourself, this is not enough for me?
Yeah.
Or what I've been doing for a while now, and in effect, the habit I've built around this, it's not going to take me anywhere.
Yeah, 9 to 5 every day, you know, boring job. And Sinek talks about that. And that's why it surprises me that he doesn't bring the element of intensity, even though he stresses a lot on passion. But here's the thing. And again, I think when you talked about surprises, it inspired me for something which is very crucial. And in my mind now, I'm thinking that intensity is really the climax of everything. And that's why we started with the story. So imagine a story without a climax. How would it look like? It can be consistent, a man going and, you know, drinking. And there is a lot of novels like that, acclaimed novels of a drunken man who goes to a cafe, sees people and then get back home.
It would be flat.
It would be flat. Imagine a sexual relationship without intensity, right?
That's the killer example. That's a killer example, because sex is all about striking the right balance between consistency and intensity.
Yeah.
In every aspect that you can think about it. Intensity, change, you change position, you change rhythms. One day you start slow, other days you are more passionate. You have that passion burning in you. One day you bring flowers, you bring roses. Yeah. Other days, I don't know, it's going to be in the beach, right? You get more creative. But even the orgasm is the climax. And what is a climax, after all, but a reaffirmation? The proof that you need, and that you need in the short and medium term, not in the long term, to tell yourself, this is amazing. Yeah. Or when you go to the gym, when you've been going for a while and you add more weight, what is the climax? When you can see yourself in the mirror and you can tell yourself, wow, I feel sexy, right?
Yeah.
So I think the climax is that moment of reaffirmation when you see progress and when you can tell yourself, with all honesty, I'm doing something good and I know I'm in the right path.
But here's something else, which again opposes to what Simon Sinek was saying. Climax implies that actually there is one event where something happens. There is one, and not necessarily for everyone, right? Like, people have different lives, different values, different ways of living. But at least for me, there is one event where I said, damn, I love my wife, right? Like, I remember that the event. There is, or wow, she's gorgeous, she's beautiful. There is an event in specifically when it comes to leadership. I mean, think of the example that he gave on leaders. And that's why I said we need to reconceptualize the concept of intensity. Because for him, intensity when it comes to organization and leadership is going to a seminar for a full day, getting a certificate, and bam, you're a leader. No, it's not that. Right? Like, if you really think about it, there's mostly, absolutely, I think, an event where, for example, you stand for something and you show your qualities, right? And you show the quality of a leader. going to a seminar. Well, some people will go to a seminar and exert mental effort to learn something, and they will learn something. They will not transform immediately into leaders, but they will learn something and they will start building it. But to go back to the event, the one event example, I mean, and the climax example, think about it. Sometimes something happens and you're just behind the curtain, and something happens where you stand for something and you show your qualities and people see that, but it's not enough. And that's why we need the harmony of intensity and consistency. It's not enough because you have to remain consistent. So if you think about it, it's how you stood for pressure that revealed your qualities, but then you remained consistent with these qualities.
I'm dying to say one example.
I can see that. I'm like, I want to say something. That's an exciting topic, I know.
Why do we know Rosa Parks? Why do we know her? Because she was an unimpressive person until that moment of fame, when she refused to give up her seat in the bus, right? So if you know the story of Rosa Parks, she refused to give up a seat in the bus because she was a black person and she was required to sit in the back row.
Yeah.
And she said no. She stood there. I think she went to prison.
If that's not intensity, I mean, what would that be?
Yes. Yes. And I'm sure she had some, you know, education, some reflection about the injustice in the racial relations in the South of America by the first half of the 20th century. I'm sure she had reflections about that. She thought about it. So there is a consistency element. And she pursued a career or an image after that big event. But that is what made her famous. And that's where everybody could see this is a person of integrity. This is a courageous person.
Yeah, and I think this is what we can learn from her, that in order to form a principle, it has to be applicable on all the different scenarios, all the different practical scenarios. And it has to become a guide for action in order to help you plan short term and long term. If a principle helps you only for the short term, well, it's not a principle. You can't be honest on the short term only. You need both, right? And when you have the harmony, I mean, think about this, since we already launched an episode about honesty. Think about this. You can be consistently honest in your life, but nothing really dramatic happened to you. There was no big conflict. There's no tension that made you reveal the quality of your honesty. Well, guess what? If that's the case, which I think it's so hard for someone not to experience a conflict, but if that's the case, you will never know your quality. You will actually never come to appreciate honesty. So that's why I think the principle is the harmony, the integration of consistency and intensity. Elevating consistency and detaching it from intensity is impractical and it's false, right? And somehow, and I'm not saying this is what cynic means, but somehow it's an attempt to advocate randomness, right? For randomness at the price of maybe selectivity. And think about it. If you follow the consistency principle as detached from intensity, and you let's give an example. Let's say you want to build a house and you're following the consistency is key principle. Well, every day you will put a brick over brick and you repeat this random motion every day with the hope to finish the house and following nothing but your strict and random habit. Then after a while, you wonder why you built a wall instead of a house, right? And maybe you end up damning the whole of existence.
You're right. You're going to end up hating the house.
Yeah. Yeah. So the fact is you need to be guided by consistency and intensity, specifically intensity, in order to concentrate and exert effort, studying and planning how to build the house, working on the blueprint. And then you commit yourself to the everyday task and, you know, you build consistent habit until, and guess what? Even when you do that, you step back and you look at the house and you say, you know what? I need to think how to make it beautiful. Now I laid the foundation. For example, I'm saying, now how can I make it beautiful? How can I work on the sound? Every step on the way, you need the integration of consistency and intensity.
And if you want to think of one principle to embrace, it would be the principle of surprise. The principle of surprise as part of the joy of creation. Because we often take, you know, those discoveries we make, I don't like this, because just because you are able to find a path doesn't mean you want to follow it.
Yeah.
And if you come to that realization, I don't want to do this, you should not strip it aside as an anomaly, but embrace it as an integral part of who you are and what you want to do with your life. This realization that things sometimes don't go the way we want them to be sounds scary, and it is at some moments. But we can either shy away from them or approach them with curiosity.
Yeah.
With curiosity, which is how we first learned, right? How children learn. Discovering something new, something amazing in the world that was previously unknown. I think that would be great if every creative task we do, even if minor, if it wasn't a routine, because I think that's the ultimate, even if anti-intellectual, argument to consistency. It's damn boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what if we introduce surprise to our everydays and pursue it with that curiosity, like a child?
Yeah, I like that. So I think we have a very clear-cut verdict here. So the way I'm seeing this is that consistency is absolutely a key, right? But not without intensity. You need the integration of both. And I think this is rooted in also philosophy. And in history of philosophy, we've seen this kind of dichotomy, for example, between mind and body, between reason and passion, between the theoretical and the practical. And that's one application that we're seeing now, between consistency and intensity. And by the way, by simply saying that, now I can see so many episodes, potential episodes along the way. I would like to put a challenge out there. Like, try to reflect on your day and see how much intensity you are performing when it comes to your leadership, maybe, when it comes to your love, when it comes to your values, when it comes to your practices, when it comes to anything. Like, notice whether you're exerting intense focus, intense passion, intense virtues. I think that's very important in order to build consistency on foundational grounds.
Try to consistently live intensely. I think it's the bottom line.
I like that. Try to consistently live intensely. For you who are listening now, think about how would life look like without a climax that keeps on reaching new heights. The intensity of noticing a beautiful face in the crowd and then making an unexpected eye contact. Don't we all long for this one chance where someone, somewhere, can notice and admire our qualities? Personally, I don't think there is a conflict between mind and body, reason and emotions, theory and practice. And in the same way and for the same reasons, there is no conflict between intensity and consistency. They should work in harmony if we want to flourish in our lives. Thank you for listening to Ideas on Trial. If you find our show intense and interesting, Please subscribe so you can consistently stay tuned. We are bringing a new episode every Thursday. For now, have a beautiful day.